The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Thursday, December 22nd, 2016. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, our final live program of 2016. I don't particularly care for that year. President Obama kills the NSEERS plan. Sort of equivalent to, I have to say, that is like the most equivalent thing. It would be like when you're retreating from a fort and you burn it down so that the bad people can't take it over. North Carolina, speaking of the bad people taking over, could it be a model for the National Republican Party? And the press worries about the correspondence dinner. And the correspondence dinner finally makes me laugh. Trump loses, union wins in Nevada. Nevada, I get it. Could the U.S. allow for a UN demand of a settlement freeze? We'll know at 3 p.m. today. 95%, according to a new academic study, of the 10 million jobs created during the Obama administration are part-time, temporary, or contract jobs. Rahm Emanuel has an email dump of his own, and it's nice. He's just as scummy privately as he is publicly.
Core brand proposition.
Speaking of core brand proposition, turns out the Freedom Caucus, those true believers, they're full of crap.
Yep.
And Klepto Watch, Carl Icahn's sweet insider perch. All that and more on today's program. Speaking of that sweet insider perch, yesterday we played a video of Newt Gingrich going a little off the reservation, telling tales a little bit, like, oh, I've been told not to talk about draining the swamp anymore. Because, yeah, the Trump administration doesn't want to do that anymore. Well, Corey Lewandowski goes on to state-run media, Fox News, and reiterates this point after it's brought up. Now, let me make something clear. On Fox and Friends, because they're all friends, they don't sandbag people. I mean, I did a hit on MSNBC this morning, and they gave me the topics. They even wanted to know my bullet points on it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. It was not exactly my favorite hit.
I don't know.
Well,
foreshadowing.
Put it on the side. But on Fox and Friends, so Corey Lewandowski knew this question was coming and or asked for this question to come. And here he is. What's stunning about this, never seen a more explicit or what appears to be concerted effort to run from a campaign slogan that is fairly innocuous than we're seeing with this drain the swamp. And when you look at his cabinet, Donald Trump's cabinet, I mean, you understand why it's a little bit embarrassing for them. It's just odd to hear them say, like, oh, yeah, a chicken in every pot? Nah, not so much, because we're vegan and we don't believe in pots. Here it is.
Yesterday, Newt Gingrich came out and said one of the terms that Donald Trump really is known for is saying the term drain the swamp. The crowd went wild when he said in getting elected and still says it today. He says that the word that Newt Gingrich got from inside the camp, which you would know, was that they don't want to use that term anymore, that he doesn't really, he's not going to say it. And if you look at some of the left are saying they're looking at some of the people in his cabinet and it doesn't reflect it. Where does drain the swamp stack up?
Pause it. Some on the left are saying this. Some on the left. I think really everybody outside of the cabinet. You've got Carl Icahn is advising him. But apparently can go out and trade on all the information he's advising him on.
Yeah.
You've got an entire a cabinet that's basically at this point refusing to disclose their financial conflicts. Now, good for the Senate Democrats. They signed a letter following reports that President-elect Trump's cabinet nominees have not yet provided the relevant Senate committees with important documentation, such as completed financial disclosure statement, ethics agreements signed, and more ahead of their confirmation hearings. Democratic ranking members of 16 committees today issued the following joint statement of principles for vetting the President-elect's nominees. In other words, we're going to need the same type of vetting. I mean, you've got his whole family sitting in on meetings, though they're the ones who are supposedly going to help keep his business stuff out from conflict of interest. Peter Thiel apparently corralled a bunch of those tech guys after the meeting to get a bunch of support to have NASA officials be more pro-privatizing space travel. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
You want to go into space?
But
play ball.
Here we go. Here's Lewandowski explaining.
The camp, which you would know, was that they don't want to use that term anymore, that he doesn't really, he's not going to say it. And if you look at some of the left are saying they're looking at some of the people in his cabinet and it doesn't reflect it. Where does drain the swamp stack up on things to adhere to in the Trump camp?
All right, pause it. That's the tell. Dum-dum there sitting on the couch. Couldn't even figure out how to make this seem spontaneous. Who would ever ask a question, where does drain the swamp stand on the list of priorities that you're talking about? What? No one would ever frame the question that way, unless, of course, Corey Lewandowski had the answer framed that way. Go back to Dum Dum, who couldn't even get his stupid propaganda correct.
In his cabinet, and it doesn't reflect it. Where does drain the swamp stack up on things to adhere to in the Trump camp?
Look, I think if you had to put them in a chronological order, drain the swamp is probably somewhere down the bottom, as opposed to getting tax reform done, making sure middle class people have more jobs, making sure we're renegotiating our bad trade deals, ensuring that we're fixing Obamacare, repairing and replacing that.
All right. So first of all, when they came in, they were bringing in their own new swamp. But the idea that chronologically, we don't have time to do that. First, what we need to do is bring in all the people who have stakes in all this. And then they're going to do the right thing for the first time ever. And then afterwards, after they do the right thing, then we'll get rid of them. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. What's funny to me is just that they feel like they have to worry about this with the way that the media is going to be covering this stuff. You know, Reuters TV is the revolutionary video news app for busy people who want to know what on earth is going on.
We need to.
It's created by the world's largest news organization. Reuters TV is video news as it should be. No hot air, no talking heads, no theatrics. I mean, frankly, it would be nice to get a quick news brief. One that is hopefully bereft of an over-reliance on Herr Trump's tweets.
Yep.
And again, you know, I complained about this the other day, but even on networks that ostensibly are supposed to be sort of more geared towards politics, covering tweets for the first 15 minutes of a show, seriously? Other features include on this app custom news broadcasts between 5 and 30 minutes, updated throughout the day, scheduled downloads of broadcasts to watch online, live feeds of major news events such as the presidential debates or press conferences. It's available on your favorite device, iOS, Android, Roku, Apple TV. It's personalized, always up to date, and ready when you are. It's basically the opposite of cable news. See for yourself. Go to Reuters.tv/majority. Reuters.tv/majority. That's Reuters.tv/majority. I still can't get over this. The attempt by... All right, here is Trump. Let's play the first one. He's done this before, right? About the rig thing. He said this after the primary. Here's Donald Trump sort of rigging on the rig thing. And then remember, he re-upped it later when he was running against Clinton.
Yeah, but
so there's a chance he could go back on the drain the swamp to re-drain the swamp.
Like in 2020.
But this is just after the primary, and this is beautiful. You know, there was a story about Trump's doctor who said, like, oh, you know, if he dies, he dies. We got a bunch of other people behind it. You know, Reagan went in to office with early dementia. Nobody cared. Nobody knew about it.
MacArthur had people, too.
The people around Trump and Trump himself don't seem to understand that it's not about them. It's about the fact that they're president of a country. And here is Trump, like, completely oblivious to the rig thing. Like, I'm sure a lot of those guys behind him in baseball caps thought, hey, the rig thing, it's rigged against all of us. And because Trump's here to save us, it's rigged against him too. No, that's not the way that Trump saw it.
You've been hearing me say it's a rigged system, but now I don't say it anymore because I won. Okay, it's true. You know, now I don't care. I don't care.
They're all applauding. They're all applauding. Yeah.
I really recommend.
And because you won on the rigged system, we're going to. Wait, what? Except, of course, they never get to that wait, what part.
You got to read that Hunter S. Thompson piece really puts even something like that in context. Because it's like just that sense of like, just destroy it, whatever. Right. Like, even if we're getting screwed, like, as long as he's taking a baseball bat to the people we don't like, we don't care.
Right. I mean, the problem is like, you know, there was this huge misinterpretation. He was talking about a rigged system. He was telling all of them. No. He was just, there's just some type of projection that they want to be him in some way. And it's like being friends with the bully. Not that the bully's going to fundamentally change your life. It's just that you're on the one side of like, you get your sadistic desires fulfilled
right
through this guy. All right, here he is, though, on...
And I'll dunk their heads in the toilet with me.
That's right.
Let's do this.
And here is Trump on his... This was back in
this
December.
This is recent. This is the victory.
This is where he starts to get rid of the drain the swamp thing when he realized, like, oh, no, all my friends are in the swamp. I've got the swampiest people there are.
Maybe I just want to rob the swamp. Maybe drain meant take everything out of it and give it to us.
But here he is basically explaining like, and it's quite possible that he just doesn't like the way that it rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
But it gives you a sense of just like how sincere he was. Sorry, suckers, here he was.
We're going to drain the swamp of corruption. Funny how that term caught on, isn't it? I tell everyone, I hated it. Somebody said, drain the swamp. I said, oh, that's so hokey. That is so terrible. I said, all right, I'll try it. So like a month ago, I said, drain the swamp. Place went crazy. I said, whoa, what's this? Then I said it again. Then I started saying it like I meant it, right? And then I said it, I started loving it. And the place loved it. It's drain the swamp. I mean, it's true. It's true. Drain the swamp.
I mean, I really do think the appeal for this of this guy to those people is just like free show. Free show.
Yeah, definitely.
Like this guy's just like, you know, he could be sitting there like, you know, with a whiskey and a smoky bar, just like I said, drain the swamp. And I said, and I didn't like it at first.
And it's true.
And I said, I did. And then,
That one.
And everybody, this show's on me.
I like, though, that there's a slight decrease in chutzpah because the first one, he's just like, I don't care. I don't care. Yeah. And that one, he's just sort of like, yeah, we're totally going to do it.
All right.
Mark my words.
F Trump. So, and
we
I only
speed
that,
those up, though.
Yeah, we did not
gotta
speed those up.
Got to get back on that.
All right. This is important. I don't want to waste too much time just making fun of that jackass. But the I do want to say that for those of you who thought that he was going to drain the swamp, you're suckers. So on Thursday, today, President Obama said it was ending a program that actually they stopped using in 2011. But they were going to shut it down. Department of Homeland Security is removing outdated regulations pertaining to the National Security Entry Exit Registration System, NSEERS, with an immediate effective date. The use of the program stopped in 2011, but the apparatus was still there. And that program was to register males 16 or older from 25 countries. Can you guess which countries those might be from? With the exception of North Korea, all of those countries on the list were either Arab or had majority Muslim populations. And it would allow for the registration and monitoring of non-citizen visa holders, such as students, workers, and tourists. Monitoring. And this was a Bush administration policy. Like I say, they stopped using it in 9/11. I mean, excuse me, in 2011. But now they're basically dismantling it. So if Donald Trump wants to restart this program, they have to go through the entire process again. Legally speaking, they can't just flip a switch and have it back on, which they could have had it not been dismantled. They actually have to go through the whole commentary period. They have to file the documentation. They have to wait 6 months. They have to get the comments. They have to go back and forth. They have to own it. They can't flick it back on. So good for the Obama administration. I'm not sure if there's been anything else as sort of odious that has just been sort of lying around that they could do this to, that they... beyond this, because at one point we're going to have some type of terrorist attack, possibly, and that's when things are going to get really ugly in this country, I think. And this is one less apparatus that they're going to have to at least exert some effort to reinstate. So good for the Obama administration. Meanwhile, in North Carolina, you're all aware now by now of the huge power grab that the North Carolina legislature basically dealt with the loss of McCrory's election by stripping the governor of a huge amount of its power in the state, and particularly its patronage, and particularly oversight of elections, at least on years where there are elections. They control the election board on the off years when there's no elections. On the years that there's elections, the Republicans do. That's fair. Well, there was also supposed to be a repeal. There was a deal made to repeal North Carolina's anti-LGBTQ law. And it's not even just an anti-LGBTQ. This is the HB2. It allows, I mean, or I should say, it prohibits cities from passing ordinances that would call for anti-discrimination ordinances, as well as other ordinances, which we'll get to in a moment. But the deal was that Charlotte City Council, which on Monday voted unanimously to rescind its non-discrimination ordinance under the promise that the General Assembly would move to repeal HB2. It, and again, HB2 barred cities, and I guess counties, from enacting anti-discrimination policies based on the on sexual orientation or gender identity. It also prevented schools from allowing transgender students to use the restroom that corresponds with the gender identity that they perceive, as opposed to the ones assigned to them at birth. And this measure, incidentally, HB2, could also also ties the hands of localities to enact a minimum wage standard. So it was supposed to be repealed, but the Republicans at the last minute decided that what they wanted to do is, well, it'll be in place for 6 months, and then it will sunset. But they had structured it in such a way that they could re-up it every 6 months. So the Democrats didn't go along. The whole thing fell apart. And that's that. North Carolina, still a crappy place. With all due respect to North Carolina, you're crappy. Not the people who listen to this show in North Carolina. But it's messed up. It's messed up. Let's go to the phones. You call them from a 541 area code. Who's this?
This is BC Clarity Carlton Martin.
Hello, BC. How are you?
I'm doing better, but 2016 definitely was a shitstorm.
It certainly was.
I had two bicycle accidents. The latest one, November 28th. And both on the right side. And being a musician, it's been...
Well,
anyway,
yes.
I had a little short little ditty for you.
Okay.
Goes like this. Rednecks roasting cucks on open fires. Tar and feathers up your nose. Yeah, anyway.
Well, I appreciate it. Have a good holiday.
Yes, mazel tov and happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
God bless you guys, huh?
Yes, thank you.
Bless.
Calling from a 509 area code. Who's this?
Sam, this is Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
Finally.
Calling in the final call from Ronald Reagan in 2016.
You really... I've got a critique of the show.
Okay.
You're underutilizing the Price is Right horn. When that guy said he got hit by a car twice, perfect time to for that drop. Shout out to Mindy.
Yes, shout out to Mindy.
Always a shout out to Mindy.
I'm ready to produce your podcast, Mindy. When you're ready, I could co-host it. It's going to be awesome.
I mean, I think I got the inside track there, Ronald.
It's
right
going to be like the...
Ooh, look at Mac getting territorial.
Whoa.
What would be the name of that show?
Matt and Mindy show.
Yeah,
no, the Matt and Mindy.
Well, I was thinking Mindy and the retard, and I would be the retard, but
wow.
Anyways.
Really?
That's a working title. Working title.
Things okay at home, Ronald Reagan?
It was his wife's idea.
You owe us $17 for saying that.
Hey, why are you guys so PC? listen, Sam, I was thinking about your book, FUBAR, because by the time I sort of discovered you, it was a little bit of a relic of the past, and I never read it because, by the time I started listening to the show, Obama was president and everything. And so I thought, maybe I should check it out. Maybe it's relevant again. So I pulled it up on Amazon.
$1.
And this is the review. I'm going to read this. I think it's from Publishers
Thank you.
Weekly or something. Quote, "In this manifesto, which is occasionally hilarious, but more often stale diatribe, Air America Radio's Cedar and Cheryl have increased the scope of liberal rage to not only our elected leadership, but also all those who elected him, the, quote, rapture right, as the authors dubbed them. To read this volume, which uses sarcasm as its main analytical tool, one would think the American right was composed solely of born-again Christians." Anyways, so it goes on. Not sure how I feel about it. I put it in my basket, but I haven't checked out.
Well, that's a big dollar. You don't want to, maybe what we'll do is, why don't you hang in there? Don't bother doing that. And then one day when we take a day off, we'll just play FUBAR, the book, the audio book.
Okay. All right? Good idea. Whew. Hey, I've got three more points, but I'm short on time. I need you to be quick with your responses, okay? So, did you hear Paul Ryan refer to the poverty industrial complex?
I did not. We'll look for that right now.
That's like peak Orwell, and it sort of tracks perfectly with the anti-poor, poor-shaming fervor that we're seeing right now. And I also like the idea of just saying industrial complex after things, like even when it doesn't make any sense.
Industrial
number
complex.
Number two. Thank you, Sam, for keeping it brief.
Right.
Glenn Beck, I'm glad that he's apologized and realized his mistakes, but just because you found Jesus in jail doesn't mean you get out of prison. And I think that maybe we forget because he's been sort of relegated to the dumpster of the internet, but we kind of forget how important he was in 08 and 09 in the anti-Obamacare, the anti-Obama delegitimizing the president.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget.
And No, me neither. But Samantha Bee apparently has forgotten. So
no kidding.
And the last thing.
I watched
this election has me feeling like Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica. All I want to do is get back to Earth, but Commander Kane and Battlestar Pegasus keep picking fights. You can't win with the Cylon forces. The Cylons are over there with their pulsar cannons, and I'm looking around going, am I the only one missing Planet Cobol right about now?
Thank you for that. Thank you. There you go. Ronald Reagan, a great last call for 2016.
Oh, it's just such a steady quality. It's amazing.
Calling from a 651 area code. Who's this?
This is the John Miller.
Hello, John Miller. Yes. What's what's on your mind?
I'm the publicist for the Chris Lopako because he gets so much publicity.
I understand.
He gets a lot of it. Yep. Hi. Hey, how are you doing? Happy New Year and Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas, and I love you guys. I wanted to say that first and foremost. There's one thing that Obama could do that'd be more odious than shutting down NSEERS. I say he leaves Upper Deckers in every single toilet all over the place. Like take a poop and then like roll it up in a ball, hide it in a cabinet somewhere. No,
I think people get it. People get it.
Guess what? We go even lower.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We go upper.
The real reason I called, I called that Hitler bodyguard story. So I went and I looked up Hitler's first year and I just switched out Republican Party. Donald Trump, just that simple. And I'm like, oh, he's going to keep his bodyguard because Hitler did the same thing. And there were other things that I'm like, oh, well, in April, he's just going to go look at a whole bunch of ships. That's it. Not funny. Okay. But what do you think? I'm dying over here, man.
No, it's all right. I mean, it's the end of the year, buddy. Yeah, sometimes
No. Oh, I know. Sorry. But like, what? I don't know. I'm worried about fascism creeping in. I guess is a big thing.
I'm glad you raised it. Where
do you think it's really coming in, Sam? There's so much conspiracy out there. Right. I watch Hypernormalization. What's real?
I will let me.
Thanks for the Monday song, man.
Chris Lepacco, everybody.
I love you, Michael.
End of
you
2016. Okay. So I did a hit on MSNBC this morning. It was nothing. If you didn't see it, you didn't miss anything. Not terribly interesting, with all due respect.
Yeah, I believe that.
You got to, you know, I did my best, but it's not. And I always say yes to every time I get asked for the first time, because you never know. But I used to do these type of hits on CNN where it was like, say something funny about this irrelevant news story in 30 seconds or less. And I can't bring myself to do that, particularly not. I mean, if it was to leverage something else, then maybe I would. But I did run into Malcolm Nance. And of course, the first thing I said to him was like, I got to ask you a question. You came on the program. He said, Anwar Awlaki's son had a rifle and or had a weapon and was with Al-Qaeda. I said, I've never seen that report anywhere. He said, well, I've definitely heard that. I'm like, well, but has anybody written it? And he said, I don't know. And I didn't know anywhere else to go with that conversation. He said, when it gets declassified, you'll see it. I said, when's that going to be? He said, I don't know. So I wanted you to know, I just did a follow-up on it. I also asked about him. I mean, he's quite convinced that the Russians were involved in the hack of the DNC, the hack of Podesta's emails, that it wasn't just a phishing expedition. What they do is with the phishing expedition, you click on a link. That link then ends up dropping all sorts of malware on your computer, and you get this stuff.
A free iPad?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much. I'm John Podesta.
He said, according to him, and he said that there's, you know, evidence of this stuff on a site called... I have it right here. What is it? CrowdStrike. Yeah, in fact, the president of CrowdStrike also happened to be there. And they're quite convinced that the Russians were involved in this. They found the same malware, supposedly, in other places. He said, and then from his perspective, he said, look, Donald Trump has seen the evidence. He doesn't believe it. But very shortly, he's going to own it. It's literally going to be, he's going to own the apparatus. This is the way they talk. Own the apparatus is going to provide him the evidence, and it's going to become undeniable to him.
And he's going to say, don't distribute it whatever. Right.
Malcolm Nance, you know, it's like, it's unclear whether or not he doesn't believe it or he just can't, he won't believe it. He said Donald Trump was in Russia for Miss Universe with an unsecured phone, unsecured everything. Malcolm Nance quite convinced that if there was anything that Donald Trump wanted to hide, the Russians would have it at this point. I'm just telling you what he said.
You're a tasteless man, Donald.
God knows.
Well, even for
but
us.
I asked him about the security force, because this is something that is incredibly troubling to me. And he said that he believes that the head of the Secret Service has got to go and basically say to these rent-a-cops, essentially, that you guys are you're a liaison, but you guys aren't carrying guns. That you guys are not carrying guns, and the president does not have the ability to say it's legal for these people to carry guns. He said he was part of private security forces whenever they bumped up, and he was in Iraq, but he said whenever they bumped up against Secret Service or anything like that, they immediately became under the auspices of the Secret Service. And I said, but what happens if they say no?
Right.
And he said, there is no leverage. I mean, the head of the Secret Service would have to resign.
Jesus Christ.
So, you know, that's going to be telling. That's going to be telling going forward. Because, operationally, you have a real problem. My fear is not as operationally oriented. But from their perspective, you know, for professionals' perspective, it's operational. But my fear is just that these guys become empowered and they just start walking around into agencies like, I'm part of the Stasi.
Yeah, like you can handle the security detail for the president's visit to Florida. We want the license plate of this guy that made that tweet that he didn't like.
Right.
I mean, that's how it would work.
Right.
I don't think it's really that hard for them to say, sure, you can be his bodyguards. That's not really, you know, in terms of like an actual event, provide security. I don't think that that's...
No.
I'm saying them ceding that authority that Malcolm's talking about to the Secret Service.
You're saying
that that's where the conflict would be.
Oh, right. Well, I don't know because you don't know what Trump wants.
Yeah, it's true.
You just don't know. I mean, Trump may want these guys next to him because he knows these guys are like, they'll never talk about my hair plugs.
That's true.
I mean, who knows? Who knows?
Hey, this is Vinny Sacramone. I'm the head of Mr. Trump's fucking security detail. Anyways, there's some Jews on the internet or whatever. They do some shows or something. They made a joke about Mr. Trump's daughter, and I'm going to want a every single piece of the social security cards, date of birth, all of that. And then besides that, yeah, we can put our guns away for a second.
Here's Chris Hayes last night talking to Representative Charlie Dent. Now, Charlie Dent has been on the show, Hayes' show, for the past year. Because he was like the reasonable Republican, one of the few sort of Republicans who was sort of holding out. And I think what Hayes wanted to do was sort of track this guy to see where he was going in terms of Trump. Because he was, he started out stalwart, no Trump. And then Hayes started saying like, we've got the Trump curious, we're observing your Trump curious quotient. And now we get a sense of what the principled Republicans, the moderate Republican, and this guy could have been the last moderate Republican, maybe. I don't think he's really moderate, but. And here he is talking about how he's going to stand up for his principles against Donald Trump. He's not going to be intimidated by Donald Trump. Oh, wait, no, that's not what he says.
Sir Chris.
Excellent.
How are you?
I'm good. It's good to have you on. I guess my first question is, are you going to allow Donald Trump to dominate you?
Oh, my goodness. Look, we're going to work with the president when he's on the right track. I think we'll support him when he's on the right track. But if he goes in a direction that's probably where we might disagree, we might have to check him from time to time.
We might.
And I think it's pretty basic. You know, we have a separation of powers system. You know, Congress, you know, we're not a bunch of potted plants. You know, we will work in partnership with the administration when they're on the right track. And there might be times where we disagree, and there might be times we might be able to help them fashion policy and make it better.
So there, here's an interesting place where I think some of this comes to head. There's been a lot of discussion about a possible infrastructure / stimulus bill. $1 trillion over 10 years. A lot of money. You know, your colleagues in the House sort of famously threatened both a default on the U.S. government's debt and also a shutdown over the national debt and its size. That was the putative reason. We're now hearing that several members are saying that if there is such a bill, it would only be 50% paid for, meaning it would expand the deficit quite sizably. Is that the kind of thing that you'd just be willing to go along with, or is that would you have to object out of principle and consistency?
Well, I do support the need for an infrastructure bill. I think it's important, but I also believe we should pay for it substantially. And I'm prepared to, you know, make some serious suggestions about sustainable forms of revenue. The president-elect Donald Trump has talked about tax credits and public-private partnerships, which I think are valuable.
In other words, we have this Freedom Caucus that has been saying for years, everything must be a pay-for. You cannot spend... You cannot even cut taxes unless you get the money from somewhere else. Everything must be paid for. For 8 years, through tremendous recession, at a time where government spending is most important, most important. They were pushing these austerity policies. And now, these true conservatives, we're sort of there still.
And the answer is yes.
Yes, I will completely roll over.
Yes.
Whatever Mr. Donald Trump, president electoral, wants.
Chris, that was a black guy asking for that before, so I think the circumstances have changed a little bit.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Calling from a 508 area code. Who's this?
Hey, Sam. It's Ryan from Worcester.
From Worcester? Wow, you're going to get one of these.
Yeah.
Oh. And actually, before I even go on, hold on for 1 second, Ryan. Let me just also issue
sure.
a thank you and a celebratory shofar for longtime listener and huge supporter of this program and, frankly, other programs like this. Janet, this is for you. Promise to you. So Ryan from Worcester, dude, what's up?
What's shaking, bro? I was.
Who's hosting the WAF Giraffe right now?
I wish I could say I knew what that was.
The WAAF, dude.
Oh, WAAF, dude. Oh, I don't even know radio. That's so like what 2002.
Well,
that's probably true. Isn't that they probably are they like out of business now?
No, WAAF. They don't use their call. They claim they're not from Worcester anymore. They used to be. That was the station that when
that's where
the
those
Stones,
guys got their start. Those Howard Stern knockoff guys.
I think so.
Right?
Opie
and Anthony.
Is that really right?
I'm pretty sure. Or at the very least, where they took off. Yeah.
And but they weren't on. I think when I was there, the big claim to fame with WAAF was that they had the Stones. They gave away the whole Stones show at Sir Morgan's Cove when they released Start Me Up. That was the first show they played. All right, go ahead. What's up, Ryan?
So I feel like a lot of people are kind of drowning in a bunch of conflicting information, specifically around what's going on in Syria right now. And I was curious about your guys' opinion on specifically the media's coverage of it lately, and specifically how they're addressing rebel forces against the Syrian government. I know in Democracy Now! They had Stephen Cohen, professor from Harvard, and Ken Roth from Human Rights Watch, and they kind of had a back and forth. And something that Cohen pointed out, and I've heard from other sources as well, just to notice that the change in the media's narrative from referring to the people that the United States is funding as, you know, Al-Qaeda and al-Nusra, or at least being affiliated with them, and now just kind of dwindling down to the term rebel. And I'm kind of curious for you guys to take on what you think is even worth believing at this point from on both sides. It's just kind of mess from U.S. side.
I am not too differently situated than you are, and I have no insights. Michael Watch just watched that that debate.
Yeah, I watched that last night. Someone emailed us about it, so I took a look at it. I do have some thoughts on it, but do you want to say what you're going to say first?
Yeah, well, then I'll just defer to Michael because he just watched that thing. But this has been debated in this country for 6 years as to whether or not we should intervene in any way. And I think that we clearly were arming different factions supposedly in a clandestine manner. I don't get the sense that there is a concerted policy. I think there is a lot of different forces that are pushing an agenda here. I think, from my perspective, I just think that we have shown too many times that intervention doesn't work. And we superseded our mandate, as far as I'm concerned, in Libya. And didn't particularly help the situation. I think if we really want to help, we help with the immigration. I don't have a sense of what's on the ground. I find it hard to believe it's not as violent and horrific as some people want to make it. On the other hand, I also don't think that we should be intervening. I don't know. Mike, you want to add?
I guess I think the intervening question is sort of, you know, it can somewhat be a separate issue because I don't think we should particularly intervene there either. But I think I thought that was an interesting debate, and I found just stylistically Stephen Cohen is a lot more kind of a appealing debater than Roth. But and they both use tropes that are problematic in debate. Like there's a lot of like, okay, well, that's a lot of hard air, but in reality, that would be kind of Roth's go-to. And then Cohen would always say, make these points about kind of fog of war. And it is an important point that there aren't really many, certainly Western reporters actually on the ground there. But the thing that Roth said that is true that I just don't know how you get away from, and I don't understand why people want to keep kind of justifying and evading, is that it is Russia that's in the air there, right? Like we're not, I don't even know to the extent that we're still bombing ISIS forces there. And ISIS is not really in that situation. Nusra is, but not ISIS. And the heavy bombing of civilian areas, which undoubtedly is happening on some level, that is Russian action. And it is, and we already know that Syrian air forces have bombed indiscriminately civilian areas. So I find it, I think people like Cohen, they have some correctives in terms of having like a completely black or white narrative about it, but then they really overcorrect by kind of wanting to make it say that like it's so blurry and it's so confusing that we don't really know what's going on. It's much more safe bet to assume that all of these factions are committing atrocities and war crimes, including the Russians, including Assad, and including the Iranians. And Russia, Assad, and the Iranians are dominating that situation right now and have the kind of most amount of firepower. And I think people on both... The other thing that is relevant is evacuating the city. And my understanding is that both sides have done things that have led to collapses of that being able to happen. Specifically Nusra, and then also Shia militias. But I think it's a massive catastrophe where all sides are committing war crimes, and I don't really understand why people on either side actually find it important to try to create a narrative where certain factions don't have blood on their hands. And I mean, I feel like on this show and in the and some on the left, it's a little bit more of like a running interference for Assad and Russia, which makes no sense to me. But I also wouldn't run interference for the groups that we're supporting either. That was my takeaway from that debate.
Dude, appreciate the phone call. See it. See it, Ralph's. Is Ralph still there? All right. And we'll see you at...
low energy, dude.
Yeah. Calling from an 803 area code. Who's this?
Hey, Sam. This is Dylan Barton. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Dylan. What's on your mind?
A couple of things. I have a quick question for you. I am a hardcore liberal that was born and raised in South Carolina. So, I deal with a lot of slack down here and, excuse me. I just watched Hypernormalization and, it sort of surprised me because I watched it and I understand that some of what Adam Curtis is doing is theoretical, that it's not necessarily all pure sourced fact. But it surprised me a little bit to hear everybody call into the show, basically saying like it kind of broke their worldview. I feel like I've always had maybe too much cynicism for it to really affect me that much. Like it didn't surprise me, I guess is what I'm saying. And it bothered me a little bit because it was like, oh God, am I broken? You know, is there something really wrong with me? But I do appreciate the recommendation. I really did enjoy it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I particularly found what really struck with me was the notion of our art culture, if you will, and the problem with individualism in that.
Think about
that
the
regard.
Patti Smith thing.
Yeah,
that's pretty amazing.
That stuff I think was
The Patti Smith, the Jane Fonda. Yeah, and I thought that was very interesting. I like the stuff about...
All right, but let's not... spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, the question I've got is... I've been really big on the Ellison for DNC thing.
Yep.
We've got, in South Carolina, Jamie Harrison declaring for it, too. Mm-hmm. And I've got a lot of issues with him. Mostly that he's a former lobbyist and he kind of tried to make up for that on Rachel Maddow. It was kind of disgusting. But do you know of any ways, or do you have any ideas of how I could try and influence the Democratic Party in South Carolina for Ellison when I feel like they're clearly going to go for Jamie Harrison?
That's hard to say, but I guess, you know, from, I mean, the only way I could imagine is that, you somehow figure out a way of delivering, of showing that, you know, under Ellison, you're going to have a lot more bodies because we're going to be here and we're going to be active. I mean, that's the only way I can imagine, right? I mean, like, this is the only, I think obviously it's going to be a very tough road to
Do you have any cans on cash, sir?
Any what now?
Any money? Like hard currency?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Unfortunately,
Send them a link to hypernormalization.
Sure,
that'll flip them.
Into the door.
Tell them to watch Adam Curtis docs. They'll get with it. There you go.
But yeah, that was it. I really appreciate you guys and everything you do. It's great.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call.
I do have to say, you guys have ruined my life with the word cuck. All my friends get on me all the time about it now.
Oh, well,
why are they cucks?
You live that way now. No, I am, apparently.
Oh, big,
sorry
big,
about that,
I mean,
buddy.
Sorry. Southern cuck.
Thank you guys so much.
So long.
The South Carolina head of Cuck Nation.
I just hung up on you because...
Do I need to finish?
Like, 626, where are you calling from? What's on your mind?
Ted, I'm calling from California.
Hey, Ted.
I have a question for Michael.
All right.
You retweeted something about someone roasting John Bolton's mustache. Is that real, or is that just subtitle?
Oh, all right. Let me talk about the mustache.
No, well, yeah, get to the mustache. No, that was apparently it's a video of the head of Hezbollah doing it. Yeah, but this is actually a story that he might not actually get the gig because of his... that thing on his lip. I wonder
yeah,
if he has
no,
like,
it's awesome.
I wonder
mean,
if he has a birthmark there or something.
Maybe.
Yeah, well let me just tell the story. This is a Washington Post from yesterday. No, from today.
Maybe Trump's like bisexual in his judgments of people.
Trump said or I should say Jason Miller's Trump transitions team said this. Presentation is very important. You're representing America not only on the national stage, but the international stage, depending on the position, of course. And so, you know, Trump chose a rugged combat general. What do we call him? Madman Mattis?
He just looks like he should have a cigar clenched in his mouth while he looks like, he's like ordering the killing of civilians somewhere.
And they're talking about whether or not... John Bolton. Now, John Bolton, I mean, just to put this in perspective, right? And Trump had lauded Mattis as like the closest thing we got to General Patton that we have.
Look at us.
And exactly.
Did you hear that?
Exactly.
Look at it.
And so this is, so the Bolton is up for a Secretary of State. I'm trying to find the exact quote here. So Bolton's up for Secretary of State. John Bolton's, I guess, foreign policy issues. I got it. John Bolton's foreign policy, I just want to set this, are so extreme, right? I mean, there's other John Boltons, I guess, out there. I don't know who they would be off the top of my head. Like, you know, I don't know. Is Pearl still around? Or
I've never heard anything about Pearl.
Gaffney. I mean,
guess Gaffney might even be a bit crazier.
Yes, but John Bolton's an extreme neocon, anti-internationalist, and so it's not like there's a lot of wiggle room. Like I could go with Bolton. I could go with this guy. I get five Boltons here. All right, but no. Several of Trump's associates said that they thought John Bolton's brush-like mustache was one of the factors that handicapped the bombastic former United Nations ambassador in the sweepstakes for Secretary of State.
That thing saved us from a war with Iran.
Donald was not going to like that mustache, said one associate who spoke on the condition of anonymity to speak freely. Because, of course, this is obviously a policy advisor. I can't think of anyone that's really close to Donald that has a beard that he likes. And if you look at like, Tillerson and Mitt Romney, like they physically look not too dissimilar, right? Like,
it's how you're like, supposed to look. White, self-satisfied, clean-shaven.
And I said this as a joke on Chris Hayes' show like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I said, like, you've got the generals and the billionaires, and now all you need is like an astronaut and a cowboy and a construction worker,
yes.
And you've got his whole cabinet.
Yes.
But in fact, that's what's going on here.
They're called Legos. What part don't you get? I guess you wouldn't be in the cabinet because you'd look like a Jew.
It's really... Well, you would be, the Jew would be the count, like the treasurer.
Wait a second, Cedar for treasury.
You could be my accountant.
I don't know about those glasses, though. Do you drive a Subaru by any chance?
It's really stunning and disturbing.
No, it's life-saving.
And
anything that gets blown out.
It could happen.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
It's not just that he has a hideous mustache. When he was running a super PAC, he would give people a mug with his just gross little mustache on it.
Ooh.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's not going to fly. All right. Appreciate the call, buddy.
He would give people a mug with his gross little mustache on it.
Let me see the mug before we do this.
Hello.
Calling from a 551 area code. Who's this?
It's A-Squared.
A-Squared, what's on your mind?
Hello. Hi, just wanted to call and say thank you, guys. You've helped us a lot with just trying to make sense of everything that's going on. Special shout-out to Kelly.
Oh, there you go.
Thanks.
Kelly says thank you.
And, it's been great having her as an addition to the show. Three things. The first is another heads up. I just saw a piece today on USA Today that looks like a hit piece on teachers talking about, I mean, they have a few cases of molesters that were still maintained in the teaching system across the United States, moved from one district to another. So expect a lot of that to come up next year in the continued attack of teachers, right? The other thing is for Mike, if maybe next year you can talk a little bit about the whole geopolitical alignment in Europe around right-wing parties. It looks
definitely
like next on the line might be, unfortunately, Angela Merkel. They're doing a real number on her with this last incident.
And she's moving to the right,
not
too.
Looking,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, it's not looking good. Yeah, it's not looking good for her. And things in France are not looking good either. More Digby. I have a film recommendation. It's a little dark, but Judgment at Nuremberg might be good to watch.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't have a good joke like, you know, some of the other callers.
Well.
And then last, on a personal note, this has been a hard year for me for a number of reasons, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to my hubby, who continues to mooch off my subscription, but that's okay.
Well,
I don't know about that. Does he have a mustache?
And Feliz Navidad and Happy Hanukkah.
Does he have facial hair?
Appreciate the call, Asker.
Thank you.
Let's go to the IMs. CPW, I know you guys hear this a lot. I want to take the time before the end of the year to say how much I appreciate you guys. I started watching videos on YouTube last year, drawn in by your libertarian debates and clips from the fun half. By the primary, I had become a daily listener. Now it's very much the high point of my day, which says a lot considering you're on the same time as Hartman. Genuinely do not believe I could have stayed engaged in news and politics over the last year without your show. You guys are an oasis of sanity, constructive discussion, while remaining often hilarious.
Cuck Nation.
Without, Without Majority Report, I've stuck my head in the sand and taken up bird watching or something worse, be stuck in the wilderness of the dumb left. I'm very worried about the country, our institutions going forward, but I genuinely feel a lot better knowing I'll have running commentary. Well, I mean, that's not guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's running.
Might be actually running away.
They might, yeah, they might not be commentating.
On the run commentary.
We could be doing the show. Like, every day the show could be like, okay, so, yeah. All right, just get in the car. All right, so it's Tuesday.
That'd be great, man. You would get in good shape.
February.
Finally, that'd be great. Like, I would love that too. And this is the point. You guys, you'll see this in this Fox News clip. We'll sound, all of a sudden, we'll sound like Trump. And it's just so pathetic. Because
thank you guys so much. The show has really come to mean a lot to me. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. And here's to this awful year ending. Oh, and Jimmy Dore is a cuck, and Chris Hayes is ruining the country. Baba booey, baba booey. Don Glover. Anonymous Donald Trump policy advisor stated the mustache term for Bolton's mustache around the transition team is cock duster. Oh, God.
So there will be some fun moments in this administration.
RG Brian, I don't know if that's true. For therapy, I've been making lists. 10 people I would kick off the bus before Donald Trump, only got to 7. 10 people I would enjoy drowning kittens more than Donald Trump. Don't really know that many people. When I got to the list of 10 people more vacuous than Donald Trump, I struggled a bit. Came up with the usual suspects. Sarah Palin, Howdy Doody, a 50s kid show puppet. I know that. And then I was stumped, and I thought of all the people, and I voted for him. Elizabeth Bishop. In my opinion, Trump's picks based on looks is based on psychological problems. He picks men he wishes he looked like and men he wishes he was tough as generals. Fascinating and tragic. Yes. Bertolt Meck, Samantha Bee supports her child's school being segregated. So I don't know what you all were hoping from her.
What?
I don't know. And that important fact out of the way, happy holiday, you and yours. My new year resolution, become proficient with firearms, both sidearm and rifle variety, in pursuit of being ready to retreat to the foothills of Calumet, Colorado, for the reverse Red Dawn. Y'all are welcome, but there's a firearm proficiency test, so I give you a heads up.
I'd pass.
At the very least, I hope you come on down, Brooksy, because Maoist Bernie impressions are actually our currency in this new society.
I'm there. And I have actually been shooting a couple of times. So
M. Haight. When I go to Michigan, often I get
down there.
Often I get taken shotgun, skeet, and
clay
not
pigeon?
Skeet.
Pulled. No. Hello?
It's skeet, and there's one other thing that it's called. Same type of thing, but it's called something different. I can't remember now. Skeet, it like, cuts across, and there's some that goes straight out or something. Like
trap?
That.
I mean, maybe we call it clay pigeon shooting, but I think, is it trap, maybe?
I think it's trap.
Are and you good at it?
I'm good at it. I think because of video games.
Your glasses? Oh.
No, not my glasses.
I have a strong shot because of my big rims,
I used to play
do you see?
Video games so much that I can like, literally track it, and I'm quite good at it.
I'm quite terrible at video games and anything.
It'll be useful for shooting down Trump drones.
Yeah, that's basically what it is going to be. And you're going to need birdshot is the best thing probably for a Trump drone.
I should learn how
because,
to shoot.
But by the time, listen, the drones that we're going to have in a couple of years are going to be like the size of like this little thumb drive.
But it'll be great like because his will come with like announcements from him. So it'll
defeat the Gold LeMay,
purpose.
You'll
yeah.
know.
Like, welcome to this tremendous Trump drone. You have not seen a drone like this before. It is truly unbelievable.
I've only played video games, or I've played one video game, I think in my whole life. And it was Super Mario Brothers when I was.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
When I was very
first
little.
First person shooters.
And
Jesus Christ, Sam.
I played a few times and I lost, and I was like, I hate this.
I mean,
I was done.
I don't know what it is.
John Bolton's mustache looks good, and Ben Carson has social skills. I think you know what I'm saying.
Nefahart, Mindy and Ronald Reagan deserve their own theme songs. Happy holidays. See you all in 2017. KC, humanist socialist, let's use this opportunity to stop referring to the president with Cold War talk. The president is not the leader of the free world, he is not even your commander in chief. I've never referred to him as my commander-in-chief. Edgewater Joe, show policy to consider all future Mindy calls should run at 1.5 times speed. Happy holidays and new year from San Francisco, Sam, Michael, Kelly, Matt. Discovering your show has been one of the best things to happen this year. It's a particularly bad year, and the bar was set incredibly low. And yes, we may very well be dead a year from now, but still, Majority Report's a daily refuge for me, and I recommend it to everyone I know. Take your vitamins, keep up your work. Camp, happy holidays, Sam, Michael, Kelly, Matt. Thanks for the year of coverage. I can't wait till you guys get OO to cover, hopefully, the Trump impeachment. Joseph Ballin, the Democracy Party is dead. Oh, the Democratic Party. In case you haven't figured it out, after Obama or Charlotte City Council, lesser evilism only breeds the greater evil. Hell, Keith Ellison endorsed Wasserman Schultz donor Steve Biddle over Dwight Bullard in Florida. Let me give you an example. Clinton came in with both houses controlled by Dems, left with the Republican Congress. Bush came in with both houses controlled by Republicans, left with the Democratic Congress. Obama can't... Okay, yes, no, I know this. Guess what Trump is coming with? Electoral politics doesn't work. It's time to go back to radicalism. Okay.
Check out soothe.com.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Bull Prague, lock her up because I'm worried about offshoring of manufacturing. Trump that bitch because I'm concerned about the prospect of automation replacing all labor force. These are all slogans that reflect the economic anxieties of the white male establishment. Christo, never did I hear any feedback for the Trump cabinet painting I sent an image of a while back. What?
I never saw it.
The idea was for actually upon Sam's suggestion on air. It seemed like a joke at the time, but reality is nearly more like, should I ever manage to revise a painting, I'll send an image again. I don't know. Ronald Ray Gunn, a different Ronald Ray Gunn. Baba Booey, Baba Booey. But Trump's best buddy and lifelong pal, Kanye West, has facial hair. Could it be he's not a real friend of Trump's? Mr. Stooks, best of 2016. Libertarian who wants to pay him for his call, or the libertarian who loves Lichtenstein. Callie Cart. Merry War on Christmas, everyone. Oh, we should repost the War on Christmas YouTube. It's a holiday tradition, Kelly. Do you know what I'm talking about? No. You don't? It's from 10 years. I did it 10 years ago. It's when I went on CNN.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm talking out of the microphone again. Yes.
Yeah, we should repost that.
Okay.
Quick holiday gift for your listeners. Those 1.5 speed Trump segments become 3 speed when you listen to Majority Report archives at 2x speed. Don't thank me. Thank math. Lastly, got a movie recommendation. Office Christmas Party. My favorite part is when a bunch of independently successful comedians come together to achieve absolutely no on-screen chemistry and then decide to do something completely original by getting drunk and letting it all loose. I heard that's one of your favorite comedic premises. Ranch Priebus, can I say unequivocally now that Donald Trump can't grow facial hair, it's really patchy. Almighty, please, please do a Dave Rubin Sargon of Akkad show parody. That would be awesome. Find the idea that Dems ignored the white working class disgusting. They haven't done much for the working class in general, but people of color didn't vote for Trump in droves, and we have known for decades what it's like to live with double-digit unemployment. Every time I hear the lefty claim that Dems aren't doing enough for the white working class, it's specifically, I feel nauseous. It's disgusting and disingenuous. This is real political correctness on the left, not being able to admit that there's a problem with the white culture, which is apparent when you see the polls about delusional beliefs that most white Americans hold about race. I appreciate Majority Report is the only voice of reason on the subject, and that's why and others joined. Thanks, guys.
Wait a second. Those are the three options. That's interesting. There's the traditional throw to that we go to. Then there's also, I've heard a new Dumb Dumb Left show. And then there's like a Rubin possibility. Never even occurred to me before. That's
I would have
a
to
really
watch Rubin. And
his... Well, whatever. You know, not really. Not really. A couple of Sam Harris IMs is pretty much the equivalent of watching that show.
I haven't heard Rex Sorensen of K57 Radio in Guam referred to in years like you did last year. K-Gum is the Limbaugh station out there, and they carry him live. Did I refer to him? I don't remember doing that. Roel Jarkin. Dear Sam and crew, I'm actually a millionaire, and I'd like to help in whatever capacity I can. First, though, I'd like to tell you how important your show is. The depth and breadth of issues which you covered, you've brought in most informed, prescient guests. Frankly, they're the best in the field. Also, the show is clever, informed. Until recently, I couldn't afford the fun half, so I could only get hints at how funny it was. But the regular show was enough. I want to go back. I am actually a millionaire. Okay. But the regular show was enough. My podcast got me through some incredibly difficult days working as a laborer and landscaper in Nevada. That's why I want to help the show now that I can. I never want to compromise the integrity of the show, but I know you've needed equipment. Maybe I can help with memberships. I'll email you for my information. Wow. Thank you. I kept waiting for a joke. RL and family. I kept waiting for a joke. Truly, may your spirits be bright. May your holiday be all right where you hope to be. Same to you. Dot Vodka. When will President-electoral Mr. Trump announce the removal of private military contractors? General Dougie MacArthur didn't need him. Hector. Greetings from Belize. So 2016 has been quite the year, and once again, the name of the show has so much more relevant starting in 2017. Thanks for all the great shows, and Michael, thanks for the impressions. Neff. Andre Bocelli canceled on Trump for the inaugural... once his fans weighed in about Trump, reported way before Trump camp tried to save face and falsely said they refused to offer his offer to perform. Also, new area to watch for unrest, the former countries of Yugoslavia. Jesus. Fun drinking movie for the break, DC Protocol with Goldie Hawn. Unbelievable. Thames Darwin. There's an audiobook of FUBAR. Is it read by Michael doing a Jew voice?
They created the Frankenstein, and now it's taking over. George
Benjamin
W.
does
Bush
voices.
Is dumb.
David Cross does a voice. I do my Jewy voice.
George W. Bush is very stupid. The main motive in analysis of this book is sarcasm.
Thank you. Thank you from rural Tennessee. I feel you hear my screams. Europe is no better. Please have Judy Gold on with Mindy, or would it turn ugly? Lefty Uno.
That'd be great, like a sibling fight.
I've looked forward to my weekdays at 12:30-ish p.m. with you guys and gal at the helm. Glad I started listening and later became a member. Thanks, MR. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year. See you on the flip side. Rowan, 1980. Hi, all. Your show has been instrumental in keeping my wife and I sane this year, especially in light of the election of Paul Lepage's ongoing shenanigans.
My wife!
We're still in fear of our safety as queer folks, so we can only keep fighting the good fight. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and here's hoping that 2017 isn't a complete dumpster fire. Speaking of Maine.
Shout out to Maine.
Where do I have this story? So I mentioned there were two assaults on seen recently. I think Cliff mentioned this the other day. Oh, well, I think he is. That the Ohio House passed a bill to block Cleveland's $15 minimum wage proposal. I mean, just contemplate this for a moment. Like, why the F would the State House have a problem with a city doing this? I mean, and they're doing this obviously in North Carolina. This is one of those things that you smell Alec all over it, right? This is the way that these things get communicated through the bloodstream, where the poison travels through the bloodstream. On Wednesday of this week, Maine Governor Paul Lepage announced that his administration will refuse to enforce a portion of the minimum wage law passed by referendum in November. This is the guy whose own advisors, lawyers, had to literally, physically pull him away from his meetings with sovereign citizens who told him that the only official power in the state, aside from the governor, were the county sheriffs, and that he had the right to assassinate his political adversaries. And his own lawyers had to pull him aside. They're like, they don't know what they're talking
That's
about.
That's a very interesting perspective. I can kill
people. He had multiple meetings
with
these people.
No, I remember.
But he's ignoring the referendum. According to the announcement, the Maine Department of Labor, quote, will not bring enforcement actions against any employer who fails to comply with an increase from $3.75 to $5 an hour in the base wage paid to workers, like restaurant servers who also receive tips. This is for people who receive tips. And understand, however, they could say they could face civil penalties. Lepage can't unilaterally roll back the minimum wage increase. It was passed by a double-digit margin. So basically what's going to happen is if you are a wage and labor lawyer up in Maine, you're going to be very busy. Very busy. But it's just, this is another example of like when we're in these situations, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get so much worse on the federal level. And you've heard me ad nauseum, I'm sure people are sick of it by now, talk about how important I think trial lawyers are and improperly maligned they are. I mean, look, there's creepy people in every business, but how important they are to our society, even more so now, because the lawsuits that are going to be brought against like the EPA when they don't uphold the law that compels them to keep our air clean or our water clean, there's going to be two types. It's going to be attorney generals, and there's not that many Democratic attorney generals around the country who are going to be doing this, you know, in New York, California, a couple other states. And then it's going to be trial lawyers who are going to be doing this. Full disclosure, I work with the trial lawyer on Ring of Fire. Often. What's so funny about that? People, do you think people know that already? Or is it just...
I just don't think it's that big of a conflict. But
It's not that big of a conflict. But
full disclosure, you're just you're so honest.
Super, super yes. Full disclosure. And my dad's a bankruptcy attorney. Calling from a 210 area code.
Wait a second, what? Your dad does what?
Calling from a 210
area code. One time I had dinner with another trial lawyer.
I served on a jury.
Yeah, it's John from San Antonio. How you
John,
doing?
John, I'm glad you called so that we can personally wish you a happy new year and happy holidays.
Yeah, same to you and everybody in the crew also. Happy holidays, even though I'm an agnostic. Good wishes to everyone. Yeah, I attended a protest against repealing the ACA at John Cornyn's office on Tuesday. 25 people attended, and they were very enthusiastic about protecting the social safety net and resisting Trump. Susan Collins voted against H.R. 3762, which Obama vetoed on January 8th of this year. So all you really need is to flip two Republican senators, and they can't pass the repeal. Susana Martinez, the governor of New Mexico, wrote this: "We want to make sure that the ACA has provided significant benefits to New Mexicans. We compel you during your discussions to make sure that the New Mexicans have viable options for affordable health care and that our state does not have a burden for taking on uncompensated health care for the under and uninsured." Here's a quote from Governor of Arizona, Republican Governor Doug Ducey. "If the law is repealed, those federal funds would dry up, endangering coverage for about 400,000 individuals. That said Ducey, is unacceptable." Ducey said any solution would have to not just be about repeal, but replacing it with something. "We want to see all of our citizens have access to affordable health care." So what I see is a little bit of momentum about not having this repealed so early. Now, I know McConnell has said he wants to repeal this on January 4th. But, you know, I just see this momentum building. And also, at least Jordan, who's on MSNBC, used to work for Rand Paul, was on the other day, and she was talking about how, you know, how unpractical this is, and it's going to really hurt the Republicans in a political sense very strongly. And so I guess my question to you is do you see this momentum building also? And I see a lot. If you actually Google ACA repeal, story after story talks about how these health insurance markets are going to collapse. They talk about, you know, how hospitals are going to lose $800 billion over this period to 2019, and it's going to be really incredibly dystopian for everybody who goes to a hospital because of the cuts that are going to have to be made. So do you see much of this emphasis? And I would like to see more on cable news. Chris Hayes did a good job with Sarah Cliff last night and talked about it. And they don't seem as pessimistic as as some other people are. So,
I mean,
so if you want to comment on that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now I'll let you go, John. I appreciate the call. They are in a very tough position here, right? I mean, this has been the signature of the Republican Party for the past 6 years. They have voted on repealing it 54 or 5 times. One time they did it through reconciliation. It was vetoed, like John said. I can imagine that there's some Republican senators out there that could break the ranks, but there just seems to be a tremendous amount of pressure to go forward. You know, the thing is that Donald Trump doesn't care, I don't think, about, like I said, I was going to do it, and I don't think there's ever going to be a time where Donald Trump says, but guys, I said I was going to do this.
I made a real commitment.
I felt it. I mean, this time.
In fact, I actually feel like making a commitment almost makes me feel like maybe we really shouldn't do that. It's kind of weird. It has like a counter effect on me.
I mean, I think.
We need to expand Obamacare.
But the amount of outrage against Mitch McConnell, if he can't deliver these votes, I mean, it would just be stunning. So I don't know. All the things that we're seeing, and I will add that these pieces that you read, I think are accurate, but it also creates, I mean, this is the one thing. Insurance companies, when they raised the rates and when people lost health insurance, they all blamed it on Obamacare, even though this was the insurance industry. This is the way it works. These were things that had nothing to do with Obamacare. If they repeal it, the insurance company's going to do the same thing. They're going to blame it on the repeal. Like, even if they don't have these problems, they're going to fop it off there. So,
actually, I'm wondering
the policy implications of this are, I think there's a growing awareness. Everything I've read indicates there's a growing awareness amongst Republicans that, like, ooh, this could be really ugly. The only way they're going to be able to repeal it is if they replace it with something that is identical to Obamacare, but called Trump Care. But here's the other problem, and I've mentioned this in the past. When they repeal it, they're going to be providing a tax cut, a massive tax cut for people making over $250,000 a year and up. To reinstitute it, even if you call it something else, you need that revenue to come from somewhere. Now, the Freedom Caucus has said, well, we're willing to do 50%. Maybe they'll be willing to do 100%. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go down. It's going to be interesting.
Do you think that the political calculus changes, too, in terms of people getting angry at McConnell for not having the votes when, again, the same dynamic we're already talking about, when it actually becomes like not just this thing that Obama did and we can blame him for everything, but all of a sudden for normal people, like, you're taking away my health care. You know what I mean? In terms of like the grassroots anger about it,
like, you know,
I think
Trump could go out and give a speech though, and just say like, "We're going to keep it," and everybody just goes, "Okay."
Oh, I think 100%. I think he would, and because as I said before, I actually think that the implication from his rhetoric when he ran against it,
we're not going to change it. We're just going to change the name.
And you know what?
Not Obamacare anymore.
It's going to be better. It's going to be better, right?
Trump care.
Doesn't it sound better? I really think when he ran, the implication, insofar as you could read anything from what he said about Obamacare with any type of interpretation other than him just sort of bashing Obama, was that he was going to negotiate and make it cheaper. I think that was like the clearest signal that he sent, to the extent there was any signal on what it actually looked like.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, I don't know how Republicans go back to their base in a lot of these houses and say like, no, we're okay with it now because it's called Trump care. Communist dog. My New Year's prediction is Republicans will no longer have a problem with deficit spending. That's a good bet. Ray.
Or Trump care.
Since you're doing the best shows, does that mean there'll just be no clips of Michael? Just kidding. Ooh. Just kidding. Thank you for all you do.
Zing.
Red Baron. you did get Michael to respond in less than 2 seconds.
Which is really impressive because pretty much I'm not listening.
Red Baron 360, thank you for helping me keep my sanity in 2016. Truly the best show on the internet. I also want to mention I will always remember, deeply appreciate the discussion about the DEA's first attempt at banning the life-saving plant Kratom. Oh, well, I think, I don't know who it was. One of the listeners told us about it.
Dig into more of that, I think.
Shampoop. I guess I did a big piece on it on Ring of Fire.
Yeah, that was on Ring of Fire.
And then I think we played it. Kellyanne Conway to become counselor to the president. So much for the theory of an early Trump impeachment. MR member. Well, I think the idea is that she can keep him from hurting himself. But I think, you know, we'll see.
To a degree, I mean.
Am I a member? Will President?
I just really want someone to control my urges.
Will President Plugs order hair pieces for all our warheads? Bucket of blood. This mustache thing is the first good thing I've heard from Trump since he made fun of that crying baby at his rally.
That was, Chris LaPaca. Do you remember that? How good was that?
Where okay, get her out. Did I get that? It was gonna be
he literally was like, don't worry about it. Keep her in. And then finally he's like, get her out. And then he goes, she actually thought that I would want a crying baby in here.
LaPaca gives an IM with a bunch of the scat stuff. Nick the Liberal, your description of Trump cabinet sounds like a fascist reunion of the Village People. Dave in Delaware, all I want for Christmas is to hear John from San Antonio, Baba Booey NPR. Hugo Ball, 2K. Sammy and the Majority Gang, thanks for all the work this year.
Baba
Would you
Belly,
consider
Baba
doing
Belly.
A comedy podcast next year? I can only rewatch home movies so many times. And beware of the mighty Septipus.
There might be a specific comedy podcast. That's interesting.
A private security force to police dissent at rallies. A private intelligence force to police dissent at the rest of the country. White nationalists have abandoned the White House. Still confident we won't see fascist violence? Hamsterdam.
No.
What will happen to drug addicts and low-level dealers under a Trump administration? The criminal justice reform movement? Will local enclaves that push for progressive reform efforts, such as Portland, be negatively impacted? Yes. Republicans have often led the national criminal justice reform for a host of reasons. What side of the ledger is Trump on? And how will this be progressive? It won't.
You got to move yourself up the supply chain. If you don't, you go to jail.
The reform is just going to be, I mean, anything that's going to make, some of these cronies money will be big. Pucktart, Sam and crew, echoing many thanks for the show. We really do need you more than ever. One question, do we have any hope for the midterms? I need to know because my plan is to work my ass out for those midterms. Any work you do towards that midterms will be helpful, not 2018 and 2020. Shout out to Mindy. She was fantastic. Petrus, if I'm not mistaken, the DNC and Democratic Party are private organizations operating in the public domain. The onus for protection of emails, data, et cetera, is on them. If they can't, either they're very unsophisticated or the hackers are very sophisticated. I don't see the difference between Netanyahu circumventing Obama to persuade the public to a particular view and what happened to Clinton, other than she was invited and the other one was not. Before you go crazy on me, I understand I'm simplifying for the same of brevity. I am not as worked up about this interference. Do I think that the Russians did it? Very possibly. Do I think that that is as big of a deal as the Comey thing? No.
Not even remotely.
Do I think that it could be a big deal that they have crap on Trump? And that he could be shaping policy to help them? Yes, I do. I think that's a very big deal. And I don't think that they're necessarily related from our perspective. They're related maybe from the Russian perspective. But I don't think Trump was like, listen, if Trump was aware of what the Russians were doing, I don't think he'd say, hack him again. I don't think he would do that. I don't think he's that dumb. But I do think that, like...
I mean, I'm dumb, but, you know, there's degrees to this.
I think, like, the Comey thing's a much bigger deal. And then I think there's a lot of reasons why Clinton screwed up both strategically and tactically that were a function of her ideology, to be honest with you.
And she has the charisma of Mike Dukakis.
Please, don't malign Mike Dukakis.
Mike do some
don't,
sound.
Do not go there.
Yeah, you love Dukakis. You would. Cuck.
I did like the caucus.
You would. Do
I think I lost.
Can you do Rush Limbaugh's Obama impression?
Yeah, let's hear this. It's just
because he's giving me a run for my money with his Amos and Andy version of an Obama impression.
Yes. Here's Rush Limbaugh wanting to get in his last licks of his impression. Maybe we'll do a random Rush. But here is Rush Limbaugh doing his patented classic Limbaugh impression. Now I think he feels like he can do this, but he's always done his like Sambo thing. Here we go.
The first moment that Trump does anything that is the unraveling of an Obama agenda item, Obama's going to be on TV. Pat Goodell's going to be really, if he's mad now, he doesn't know anything yet. Because Obama's going to call who? Chuck Todd? Take his pick. John King? Wolf Blitzer? Take your pick. He can call any of them. Hey, you know what? I won't go on TV. I'm going to grant you the exclusive. Trump's about to destroy Obamacare. And they will not be able to wait. They'll give Obama as much time as he wants to rip into Trump and to warn the American. Obama's going to be doing national speeches, the equivalent of them, to the American people, warning them of all the dangerous things Trump is doing.
I hope so. Sounds good to me.
As opposed to when Trump would go on national TV and say, he's not an American. I want to check his birth certificate. Hey, honky, I want to get on TV. Hey. I'm Rush Limbaugh.
Hey, Zaz. They're going to dismantle Obamacare. Let me be clear.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. I want to get on TV and tell everybody how it's wrong.
You need to call John King, because Donald Trump is doing a bad thing.
Hello, is this Mr. Wolf Blitzer?
It's a Wolf Blitzer. He my favorite CNN hostess. Me, you want to get on and say that Donald Trump is a very bad man.
A very bad man.
Let me be clear.
You can tell I sound just like President Barack Obama.
This is why I declare my candidacies.
And MF-er, I want more iced tea.
MF-er, I want more iced tea on my next CNN appearances. My throat gets dry when I was talking about health care issues.
Let's
how
do
is
this.
Rush Limbaugh, like, I'm literally, how is his body just not imploded on itself?
It will. I mean,
it's just a disgust. Like, there was an Onion column, which they did. It was written from the perspective of Rush Limbaugh. It was really dark, but it was like a couple years ago. And it was like, I think it was something like, How Have I Not Killed Myself Yet by Rush Limbaugh? And it was like, I'm a disgusting, horrific human being who's like, taken my incredibly limited
it's free healthcare. Okay, wait a second.
Here we go. We need all more.
Right. Yeah. All right, it's time for Random Rush. You know how this goes. I listen to Rush Limbaugh randomly for 60 seconds. I respond in 90. I've been a little bit loose on the time, but I mean, come on.
Rambles a lot.
It's 2016. It is 1:39 p.m. East Coast time. Let's check it out.
Officials, when we want them to stop Obamacare, well, you know what, we don't have the votes in the House, in the Senate, rather. In 2010, the midterms, the Republicans won the House. Because the voters knew Republicans didn't have votes prior to stop Obama, so the House, clearing away, went Republican. Not so the Senate. What did senators say? Well, I mean, yeah, but there's nothing we can do. Obama's still president. We need 60 votes, and there's nothing we can... So in the 2012 election, the Republicans win the Senate. So in 2010 and 2012, we give the Republicans the House and the Senate. And what? Well, there's not much we can do. We don't have the White House. Obama's still in the White House. Well, everybody says, the hell with this. And one of the people saying it is Donald Trump. And to me, that is it's an example of the political system doing nothing more than perpetuating itself and its existence, not solving problems, not trying to win re-election on the basis of actually fixing things and being praised for it, because they weren't. We were being told, well, we can't do this, we can't do that. And meanwhile, despite the fact that the country was electing Republicans, Obama wasn't being stopped. And it's because of the political system. The political system has evolved into a giant bureaucracy, the primary purpose of which is self-preservation, not fixing anything. And I can give you even more examples if I wanted to take the time. Well, this simply won't do.
All right. So that's pretty apropos because we were just talking to a caller, John from San Antonio, who said he is seeing a couple of senators, and there's only a couple of senators that we need to basically refuse to vote to repeal Obamacare. And the fact is the Republicans are starting to learn because they have been voting against Obamacare for 6 years without a clue as to what could replace it, knowing that it would be a catastrophic and knowing that millions of people would lose their health insurance. And they're also finding out that without Obamacare, and this is one of the deficiencies of Obamacare from my perspective, the private health insurance industry is a failed model now. It can't sustain itself. It cannot provide health insurance for the entire public and sustain itself. It can't. There is no price point where they can afford to provide insurance for everybody. Even with the oldest segment of our population covered by Medicare, 40 million Americans. The only thing the health insurance industry could do is cover everyone from ages 15 to 40. That's about it. And Limbaugh, he's trying to figure out, how am I going to sell this? Where am I going to position myself when the Republicans either A, realize that they can't repeal Obamacare because they have no replacement, B, repeal Obamacare and everything goes to crap, or C, repeal Obamacare and replace it with Obamacare but call it Trump Care? Limbaugh's just dancing around waiting to see where this thing is going to land, because he knows his audience is going to be upset, or he thinks that they're actually smart enough to care about policy. And in the end, they really don't. I think his audience would just be happy if they just call it Trump Care and same thing, just call it Trump Care.
I don't know how this is going to shake out. So meanwhile, here's my new impression of President Obama on his first post-presidency vacation. Hey, Daz, Mies wants to play golf. You like that?
Play what I just IM'd you. This is Newt Gingrich, apparently, was a little too open on the Drain the Swamp reversal and has been cucked in a Twitter video.
Oh, my gosh. This is fantastic. This is really fantastic. Hold on.
I should have sent it to Matt at his video. My mistake. Hold on one second.
All right, we'll play this. This is great. Back.
Matt, Newt was not subtle enough. He should have said chronologically.
MR Rantis, video games, console or PC? What games? Yes, I'm a PC elitist and turbo nerd. Planet Side 2 still owns. Worf, for 2016 best of, the interview you did with Jane McAlevey. You know, I would have, but that was too close. That would be like a 2017 best of, if you can believe it. Jimmy Reefcake, Trump is what you might call an honest hypocrite, and that he's honest about what a liar he is. Normalization of hypocrisy is here. Madness. Happy holidays to everyone except Michael. Just kidding. Mike, I F with you because I love you, dude. Peace on earth. We passed ranked choice voting in Maine. LePage can suck on that. That's excellent. Tiggle Biddles. Do you think Trump mini drones will use gold tip LED light ammunition and shoot a pattern that spells out Trump and bright lights across your bullet ridden body? Tremendous. All right. So over the past 2 days, we've had Newt Gingrich come out and say he was told that Donald Trump doesn't want to use drain the swamp words anymore because he doesn't like it. Now, we know from Donald Trump himself that he didn't like it initially, then it caught on, so I figured why not. Then we saw that he was actually, he had drained the swamp and then filled it back up with even more swamp gook. And 2 hours ago, you had Donald Trump on Twitter saying someone incorrectly stated that the phrase, quote, drain the swamp was no longer being used by me. Actually, we will always be trying to. And so then Newt Gingrich gets on Twitter and realizing that, uh-oh, I screwed up. Now, Donald Trump does this at 11:45 a.m. East Coast time. And by 12:03 p.m., 16 minutes later, here is, maybe he'll be the, are they going to have czars in this? Maybe he'll be the cuck czar. Here is Newt Gingrich.
I want to report that I made a big boo-boo. I talked this morning with President-elect Donald Trump, and he reminded me. He likes draining the swamp. I mischaracterized it the other day. He intends to drain the swamp. He even describes it as DTS. He thinks taking on Boeing and the price is an example of draining the swamp. And so I want all of you to know, I goofed. Draining the swamp is in. The alligators should be worried. And you'll hear me write more about alligators and the swamp. But I thought I owed it to all of the folks who follow me that when I make a mistake, I'm going to be straightforward and tell you, I blew that one. Draining the swamp is in. President-elect Trump wants to do it, and you're going to get to be part of it.
God, I love that he plugged his future columns in the beginning. That's the best.
Well, he's not even playing his future columns. He's going like, please, Mr. Trump, I'm sorry, Mr. Trump.
I'm going to write about it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Trump. This guy's like a hostage video.
I'm getting cucked.
This guy's such a grifter. He's just like, oh my God.
He's like, by saying that he's not serious about getting rid of the scams, I might get cut out of scams.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to record a video now.
Right, exactly.
The gravy train is just about at capacity,
dude. Where do you see this video? Where do you see this video? I released on Twitter. I released it on Twitter.
You know, Newt, it's so weird because I saw your performance all of a sudden. I thought to myself, you know, you're involved with the swamp.
Here is the.
I found a swamp creature.
Wait a second.
He's sitting in his office going, I mean, because you know Newt Gingrich can go like literally down the street and get on Fox immediately. But he is so scared. He's so scared. He's like, I'm going to get on my phone and do the. Hold my phone. But, Mr. Gingrich, we can get you. Yo, hold my phone and just shoot it and put it on Twitter.
Do it now.
I'm sorry, Mr. I made a boo-boo. I made a boo-boo.
You know what I like about you, Newt? You know your place.
Hi, Newt. Listen. We lost the dice on my rearview mirror in my limo, and so would you mind sending over your testicles, please? Thank you.
You know what I like about you, Newt? Sometimes you get a little bit carried away with yourself, but you know just how and when to apologize. No. Just touch it through the pants. It's not gay.
In the sticks. They want to make it okay to prosecute gay people and discriminate. What is this? First Amendment Defense Act. Ted Cruz and Mike Lee of Utah told BuzzFeed they plan to reintroduce an embattled bill that barely gained a House hearing in 2015, the First Amendment Defense Act. It would prohibit the federal government from taking discriminatory action against any business or person that discriminates against LGBTQ people. So now, as it stands, at least half the states in this country, it is okay to fire. Or deny housing to anybody who's LGBTQ. You can explicitly do this. You're gay, I'm kicking you out of your apartment. You're gay, you're fired. No cause, no reason, period. In about half the states, I think it is now, maybe more. There are federal protections, and there are states. Federal protections deal with contractors, and who knows how that's going to be rolled out. There are states that have passed laws that say You can't do that. This apparently would be an attempt, at the very least, to prevent the feds from doing anything about it. Horrible. Panhandle liberal. The facial hair stuff is legit. I get called out all the time for my cuck beard. I tell them, consider it my Star of David. I don't care to tell them my facial hair grows fast because I actually have more testosterone than they do. P.S. The missus says the best defense against Trump drones is a gigantic tarp over your house painted to look like a rich white person's house. Happy holidays, MR crew. Ugly chuggly. I want to encourage folks who don't feel that that going to a post-inauguration march is right for them to be of service on January 20th and moving forward. Go to Standing Rock or one of the immigrant support houses at the border or your local mosque. Help at a food line. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Enjoyable stuff to Majority Report. I would love two Hanukkah gift book recommendations to help my two brother-in-law wake up for a bit. They are both unaware of the concept of their privilege. One is a mainstream liberal. The other is conservative. He didn't vote Trump, but he didn't vote Trump at all. He thinks O'Reilly and CNN are balanced. I would do White Rage by Carol Anderson and Eddie Gloud's book. I can't remember the name. Democracy in Black. Bernie Essen. Great show, Sam. I'm glad I found your show. One of the best I've heard. Keep up the great work and Baba Booey. Billy Buckner, thanks for another great year, guys. Sam is right. There should be another 50 of you guys. Someone should fund that. Some of the Young Turks funding should free itself up. Joe Perry, have a great break, MR and team. After a year like this, you effing need it. And I am too. Noam Chomsky, hey, guys, just a quick thanks. You're my go-to for over 2 years now. Not a paying member, but was for over a year. Times are tough. All right, well, hang in there. Don't join. Don't worry about subscribing, and if we're not giving you the member show, please send us an email. We can hook you up. This may be a moot point with a brutal fascist at the door. Any plans to have any MMT economists in the new year? Yeah, I want to have Steve Keen on, and I want to have Stephanie Kelton back on. And but it's just it's a weird time right now. Epish, there's something wrong with the white culture, and exactly what culture is that? That's not rhetorical. Be safe. I'll be close, friends and family. I cried when Dukakis lost. It's 6 years old. What's your excuse, Sam? It's 6 years old? I's 6 years old? I don't know. Mazel Tov. Random Rush. Also, movie recommendation. Arrival. Very good. Very sad. Ronald Reagan. One last thing. Lots of my jokes this year, but my daughter is the best thing that ever happened to me. I love her tremendously. Thanks for the show. Love you guys, gal. Love you guys / gal. Sam, have you heard my conspiracy theory that Jimmy Reefer Kick is a big farmer shill hired to play out a real-time cautionary tale? Nick from Manitoba. Hey, Sam, has anyone ever told you that you're kind of Johnny Carson of progressive talk? The way when you have up-and-coming progressive voices who are nobodies and when you wave them over to the chair next to you, their careers instantly take off? I just got your DVDs in the mail. The cucks ain't got nothing on me and my signed pilot season DVDs. Now I have something to put on my set. To set the mood when my neighbor plows my wife. Leslie. Give her jury report to start the new year with a regular Kelly and Matt segment. That is if Peter Thiel hasn't shut them down. I kid. Stay sweet, Majority Report beauties. Happy holidays. Eight Drops of Blood, the new podcast idea. Working class whites show where a bunch of lower middle class white people complain that their food stamp allotment is too low and their Obamacare tax credit wasn't raised enough. It's goddamn maths. How about a meetup in Michigan next week? I intend to be too drunk to transport myself anywhere. Thicket third. Continuing my tradition of IMing the last show of the year. Not much else to say. Happy holidays to everybody but Michael. Loke dog. Recommendation, The Thick of It, BBC or Netflix. Peace.
Good.
Producer Lauren, I love watching again Michael's cartoon of Obama imprisoning Santa. A must see. New York's resolution. Update your damn app. Chris Burdick, I didn't want to be the first one to bring up Michael's Jew voice, but now that it's on the table, let's hear an impression of a young cedar complaining that the heat has gone out of preschool.
I mean, I'm here and I'm trying to focus. And first, my parents came and I'm very angry at my father. I'm not going to do law. I'm going to do all sorts of...
No, he's talking about Saul.
Hello? Oh, Fred, I forgot. You call my father, you get him off this goddamn fake news channel. I need help. Michael can handle it wonderfully. And I want a slice of cheese, goddammit. And where's Pod Patrol? I'm surrounded by incompetence.
Too much to cheer on today's show. To quote Lindsey Graham, we're all going to die. Badass Society. Home Movies currently streaming on Tubi TV. I haven't seen a dollar from that. Badass Society. If we told low-information voters the Aleppo situation was part of the war on Christmas, would they shift to favoring bringing refugees into the U.S.? Baba Booey. Monkey Tata Thuy. Fafui. Spay. Looking forward to another year of membership and joining the resistance in the new year. Colin Doucet. Did you see Barry Crimmins on Conan yesterday? Game of Thrones question. Were you guys surprised at all when we found out who Jon Snow's mother was, or did you already figure it out? I had seen some fan speculation.
Not surprising. That's cool that Crimmins was on Conan.
Welsh member. Member in the UK. Can I suggest a guest? Brit academic Danny Dorling. We write that down, Matt, and email me. Danny Dorling, Dorling, author of Inequality and 1%. Keep up the good work.
I know Danny Dorling. Great guy.
Propadoc. Is this the show where you list your favorite podcast? If so, I would like to shout out TYT, Nerdist, Hardcore History, WTF. But seriously, thank you guys. when is the first show next year? It's Tuesday the 3rd. Hi, Sam. New member here. Just want to say your show is a lifesaver the last few months. Keep up the good work and see you next year. Thank you. Michael Harris. I joined Dumb Dumb Left after Michael's interview with Wes Clark. I don't think we have a time for incremental change on the climate issue. I think we're at Hail Mary point. Centrist versus conservative voting. Well, we did the Hail Mary and we lost the game. Biker Rider. Happy holidays, guys. Dick Dastardly, I recently saw a study where they scanned Twitter for drain the swamp and conclude that right-wingers mostly thought the message meant he would drain the swamp of liberals. Majority of people actually understood the message were on the left wing. That's funny. Ban the bomb. Trump is tweeting nuclear foreign policy. We're effed. The United States must greatly strengthen and expand its nuclear capability until such time as the world comes to its senses regarding nukes.
Have to.
What?
I don't even know what that means.
It was a response to Putin, to Russia putting out a statement that they were going to expand their nuclear arsenal.
So dumb. Jay Tingle.
Russia did not do it over Twitter.
Okay.
Well, don't forget, Donald, we have a picture of you.
Jay Tingle. Odd that Matt believes he's next in line for a host position. Mindy is going to go Leno all over his Conan. Just kidding. Merry Christmas to Matt and Kelly. Happy Hanukkah to Sam and happy Kwanzaa to Michael. See you next year. Holy crap. Amos and Andy. FYI, Baba Booey has been superseded with hit him with the hane. I don't know what that means. Letter carrier. I say Amos, do you think Kingfish knows about beta male? I don't know. Pro 99. Happy holidays. Opposition is just getting started. All right, let's take one more call, and then we got to go. Oh, what the hell happened here? Matt's got to get a bus, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, a train. A plane.
All right. Kelly, pick a number between 1 and 16.
13
it is. You're calling from a 786 area code. You're the last caller of 2016. Who's this? Let's try that again.
Miami, how's it going?
Hey, who is this?
Dude.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Tony from Miami.
Hi, Tony from Miami. What's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, not much, man. Glad to be last call of the day. And glad to say, wish you guys a happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, happy, Kwanzaa, and all the good stuff. Wanted to say thanks for everything throughout the year. Thanks for hearing some of us dumb leftists talk to you guys and share our thoughts and stuff. And I'm hoping and looking forward to, better
and great times listening to you guys, and I hope everybody feels the same. And you guys have been a really great part this year and helping us understand the crap that's going on and helping us, I guess, understand the future crap that's going to happen under this guy. So I thank you in advance, and I appreciate everything and Mike's voices and Kelly's inputs and hope voice of reason. And Matt and everybody, I wish you guys a great holiday and enjoy it.
Thank you.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
No problem. Oh, really quick. I don't know if you guys saw a clip really fast of Rachel Maddow, how she was talking about General Michael Flynn. She brought up a couple of stuff about his beliefs and the crazy conspiracies and blah, 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 how he's pretty much incompetent to run the position he's going to get. And she pretty much mentioned something that kind of, I don't know, stood out. I don't know if you guys have talk about it at some point, maybe next year when you guys get on the show, where she brings up that Turkey and is pretty much saying at the moment right now that the U.S. is harboring, you know, the old man that's in exile.
Fatullah Gulen.
Right now. Yeah. Gulen, yes. That he's pretty much was probably the guy, same reason for the failed coup attempt. It's probably the same reason for the assassination attempt on the Russian ambassador. And that Turkey and Russia is kind of talking between each other about it, something like that.
All right, well, listen.
And pretty much saying that we're, like, you know, in cahoots with it. Well, because we won't release the guy. I don't know if that's true. And that's Rachel Maddow bringing that up.
We got to run, but we'll get to this in the new year, I promise.
We will.
No problem.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate the call.
All right, cool. Yo, guys, happy holidays, man. Enjoy.
Thanks, okay,
guys.
Thanks.
Cuck Nation.
Thank you for your calls, too. So, sorry, we obviously can't get to all the calls today and all the rest of the IMs. Just want to thank you guys for participating in the show. Thank you for supporting the show. We couldn't do this without you, obviously. And, you know, this year did not end in the way that we were hoping it was going to. And, you know, still, I think on some level, trying to figure out how to approach this, how to approach it politically, how to approach it in terms of creating a show that is as effective as it can be within the limitations that we have. You know, I don't want to do something. I don't want to do a show that is quixotic. You know, we're trying to maximize the resources we have here and figure out the best way to expend them. And, you know, I think we had figured it out under a Democratic administration and figured it out in terms of sort of where we were going to introduce ideas that could actually be implemented. And that mission is changing a little bit. And we're obviously still, you know, going to have the show is going to be more or less similar format, but the guests that we book and maybe the format changes a little bit. I don't know. But nevertheless, I want to thank you for your support. And we've had, you know, so many kind emails and whatnot and letters. And so thank you very much. I want you all to have a great new year. Also, I want to thank Matt and Kelly. It's really been your first full year. You guys came on towards the end of last year.
Thank you.
Well, wait a second, Kelly. Let me
thank
finish.
You.
Jesus.
No, thank you very much.
Great new additions to the program. It's been, you know, the show has grown significantly over this year. We had our biggest by far expansion of people, both on YouTube and audio-wise, and we've come up with new revenue streams that are more vigorous. Vigor had more vigor.
Ironically, a little as cuck-like.
And
we're getting cuck nation
was just
gets
mad around.
Less.
It was super cucked. And with just Michael, I mean, Michael, I want to thank you too.
Thank you.
people really enjoy your, you know, little impressions that you do. And obviously, hosting on Monday allowed me to sort of expand the business and get back to people within a month or two on their emails, which has been very helpful. And people love Mondays, and we have more international coverage than really any show, I think, that is like this. That is, you know, sort of focused primarily on domestic stuff, but it's important, and it's going to become more important because we're going to want to know where Donald Trump is going to start World War III.
Whole world to lay to waste. Cover it all.
So we'll be doing a lot of that going forward. But want to thank all of you. Have a very safe and healthy, happy Christmas. Yes, Kelly.
I wanted to say thank you to everybody for listening. And that this is the best show compared to our competitors. And also,
everyone else can suck it.
Well, it's just true. I don't understand.
No, I agree.
People are so frustrating that don't agree with that. But also,
they're probably not listening.
Well, yeah, some of them are. Yeah. Hate listening. So you're wrong. Those people. No, the main thing I want to say is don't drink and drive. Now that there are apps for the ride sharing things.
But don't use Uber. Use a different one.
Okay, well...
Lyft, Curb.
Yeah,
let's not turn
it
into a plug for ride-sharing services.
No, just listen. I'm from Pittsburgh, and there didn't used to be a lot of options, and it was dangerous. Now you couldn't get a cab there. Now you can. So over the holidays, you know, just don't need to drink and drive.
I say live a little. Allahu Akbar.
Risk.
Thank you, everybody.
Michael's saying risk it.
I'm saying, look, if you don't take risks, then are you really living to begin with?
That is incredibly horrible. I'm being so sincere. That's just how I am, okay?
Don't drink and drive, people.
Yeah, come on.
That seems pretty odd. I'd like to think our audience is smart enough to know not to do that.
You know what?
Yeah.
Drink some root
beer.
Now,
of course, Matt is just going to go back. You're almost obligated to drink and drive, right, in Dakota?
Yeah, I mean, it's really cold.
I wish that we could have made that the last thing that people heard from us. All right, so just to remind you, tomorrow on the program, we have a new show for you, but it's pre-taped. Our year-end wrap-up with Cliff Schechter and Matthew Film Guy and Isabel Gillies. It was a good one. That was like the best combined. Well, maybe not the best. That was pretty good. And then all next week, we got some great best ofs. Folks, have a great Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, or just have a good time going to a Chinese restaurant and forgetting all that crap. Have fun on New Year's. Don't drink and drive. See you in 2017.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm going to get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in, and my pilot light shining bright. I guess somewhere the choice was made. The option where you don't get paid for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive.